Greetings, Pears, Orphans, and Retrogrades. Today, on Wednesday, the last day of May, one who pays any attention to the news will find that, once again, Roman Catholicism is the subject of the mainstream secular news echo chamber, which is an increasing phenomenon in frequency. Of course, this time it took the form of a story that happened last week. This story was something I went on OAN and spoke about. I went on Jason Whitlock's Fearless and spoke about. But the story's taken an interesting turn. What it was is, of course, the Skittles group, special pride Skittles group, called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who's an anti-Catholic hate group that mocks our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, does pole dances, and blasphemes our Lord's body on the cross, as well as blasphemes the Eucharist in sexual ways, sexualizes the Eucharist. They were disinvited by the Dodgers for the June 16th Pride Night, then undisinvited by the Dodgers for the June 16th Pride Night out in L.A. And last week, around midweek, I was talking about it some, did a show about it some. What's happened over the last 3 days is the MLB players, in particular Catholic players, have begun to respond. So today we're going to talk about this from an angle that I have not yet spoken of it. I haven't seen anyone else speak about it, and it's going to be a little edgier. I'm going to attempt to show you, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, how a bully operates, how a less than 1% demographic controls not only an entire league like the MLB, the NBA we saw 3 years back in the bubble, the NFL, but also an entire country, the entire Western Hemisphere. It's impressive when you note how a bully operates in five relatively easy steps. In five simple steps. A bully can control all the world. I'm talking about a demographic less than 1% controlling all the world using the Skittles ideology. It's remarkable. And it's rather impressive. I don't follow baseball much, but Trevor Williams, who's a Catholic, and I've corresponded with Trevor. I was texting with him a little bit yesterday. We used to be on a group chat together. Blake Treinen and, of course, Clayton Kershaw each responded, not in the order I read their names, but good, better, best responses. There was a player that had spoken in support of Bud Light boycott and Target boycott. His name is Anthony Bass. He had a particularly pathetic capitulation that went viral yesterday and late the day before, which shows how a bully operates in five relatively easy steps. How does a small demographic, less than 1%, run the entirety of a league, a country, a hemisphere, all of Western civilization, indeed, even though no one supports their odd, extreme, perverted anti-Christianity? No one supports it. And yet, the striking thing about Anthony Bass, the player on the Toronto Blue Jays, Trevor Williams, Blake Treinen, Clayton Kershaw, there's a spectrum of responses to this less than 1% bully who runs the MLB, there's a spectrum of responses, bad, good, better, best. Not any of them have evinced what would be just a normal, not particularly virtuous, just a normal, semi-healthy, red-blooded response that people have. They say, these weirdos are the enemy. Like, even in their responses in defense of Catholicism, the most politically correct language was used. And I really like parts of Williams and Trainin's response. And I told Williams yesterday, yay, great job. But I am pointing out there's a discrepancy between saying, hey, you know, this is offensive to my faith. Okay, that's fine, but that's sort of secularizing the response. And saying, God will not be mocked, as Scripture says. You mocked God. See how that unrelativizes the expression of the point? You're not speaking to a secular audience when you say, you mocked God. You're going to pay for that. You're going to pay dearly, you freaks, unless you repent. That's, I think, just the normal male. Look, I know athletes are not renowned for high IQ, sophistication, nuance, distinctions within distinctions. That's not their thing, typically. So one would expect a response more like what I'm saying. God will not be mocked. And Blake Treinen approached this sort of simple, let your yes mean yes, no mean no response. So did Trevor Williams. Clayton Kershaw and Anthony Bass were quite pathetic in their replies, even though Kershaw was trying to represent his worldview in a politically correct way. It ended up being a fail. But why not that? Why does everyone have to say, look, everyone's got their religion. My religion was mocked, and I don't like that. I think that's mean. That's not normal. If you believe in your religion, you drop the indexical usage, your religion, my religion, and you just say, you mocked God, he's coming for you. You better pay. You better make up, or you're going to pay. I don't understand the lack of simple response, the lack of straightforwardness. Until I take it to my, you know, back to the drawing board, look at some things, consider some basics, Nietzschean psychotherapy, if you will, Dostoevskian psychotherapy, you know, Christ, the Christian psychology, and maybe some René Girard. Tool it all up, and now I have it figured out. The way the bullies have learn, because they're very smart, this less than 1% group that uses the Skittles agenda, the June 16th Pride Nights across the league, to cow people into a corner. They use a combination of bio-Leninism and then this five simple step process. And I'm going to show you by a couple movie clips. But first, I want to read to you the statements that the various folks have made. Okay? Can we go to the Anthony Bass statement rather than reading that one? I'll just we'll play it. Okay. The longer statement he made. Okay, it's important. Do you need the mic there?
No. I'm gonna mute you and start it here.
Okay. So I'm gonna do that now. Here's Anthony Bass. Quite pathetic. The man was neutered in front of all the world.
I recognized yesterday. I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine, and close family members of mine, and I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologized with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
You're using the Blue Jays resources to learn about non-conventional intercourse? Or I don't understand. What are you guys doing at practice? The Blue Jays have resources that teach you about I don't get it. But what sort of baseball team is this? Is this a Canadian thing, like an Eastern Canadian thing? Is this a Toronto thing, or is this an MLB thing? Now, it's all pressure put downward from the top. So the leagues are run like this, the NBA, the NFL, the MLB. So I don't think it's just a Toronto thing, that they're brainwashing their players with resources about Skittles sex, about sex from, you know, illicit sex. That's strange. I thought you guys were doing batting practice. I'm not a baseball fan, but batting practice, pitching practice. That's not what you're working on? What was the offense of this pathetic, bearded, frightened man? I mean, he's got the look like the person on the other side of the camera is holding a bayonet right above his head or something like that. I've never seen this, which they weren't doing. They probably threatened to take away some of his money for a little bit of money. No physical safety is being threatened of Mr. Anthony Bass on the other end of the camera. Behind the scenes, they're telling him, you do this or we're gonna interrupt your financial flow. That's all it is. And these are guys that make a decent living. They could afford professional athletes to take a hit. What I'm trying to tell Trevor Williams, Blake Treinen, probably not Clayton Kershaw, I don't know how long you think you're going to play your sport. These are all pitchers. Aside, I don't know what Anthony Bass is. Anthony Bass a pitcher? I don't know. I'd have to lobotomize myself and start watching baseball. But the three other guys are pitchers. And guess what? Your shoulder ain't going to last forever. A great new career would be like a Jonathan Isaac thing. The ex-Orlando Magic who got a show, got a gig with the Blaze. That's a much bigger market. Professional athletes who have been the guinea pigs over the last 10 years as mouthpieces for the less than 1% who run the Skittles agenda in the professional leagues. If you speak out on that, you can have a real career that won't wear out with your shoulder. Okay, before we go on, we have to ask, for that pathetic apology, that was hard to watch, was it not? I mean, that is a man, does he have a wife? Have to see him act like the bitch of some organization or some other man? Your wife should never see you apologize like that. I don't mean a real apology where you goof up and you say sorry. That's great. I mean a fake ceremonial hand washing where some other man makes you his bitch or some other group of men. It's remarkable.
Can I just interject and ask a question on that point? I think a lot of these men who allow themselves to be embarrassed like this in public would say, well, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for my wife. Like you had mentioned earlier about an income. Can you just address that point? That's what they would say. They'd say, yeah. Well, I have to provide for my wife, man.
Life is not a series of compromises for the Christian, Mr. Bass. You're a clown, okay? Life is not a series of compromises. I know folks have probably brainwashed you to the tune that life is a series of compromises. For the Christian, it's not. Oh, so-and-so threatened me. I guess I had to forsake Jesus. Now, I don't know this guy's even a Christian, but odds are he's some sort of nominal Christian. The other three are all Catholics, the three pitchers that we're going to talk about later in the show. What was his offense? All he did was throw very tepid, banal, dumb baseball player styled support for the Bud Light boycott and the Target boycott. That's all he did. I didn't even look it up at first. I didn't think to look it up. I was like, oh, he probably made some joke about how gross they are, right? Like a bro, like what used to happen, you know, Michael Scott style, even into the 2005, 2006, 2007. You go and you watch 40-year-old Virgin and even lefty Hollywood is making jokes about how gross they are and that they've scrubbed all that now. But I figured he made some at least jockey bro joke about, like, dude, they're so gross. This is so unnatural. It's so sick, dog. But that wasn't even it. He didn't even do that. That would be much better, unless he apologized. He didn't even do that. All he did was say he supported a boycott. And this is what the elites have done. This is coming from certain countries. It's coming from certain countries. It's the WEF who runs it. The Rainbow International Agenda. The countries who run it do not run it on themselves. And what they're doing is bio-Leninism. I've talked to you about this a little bit before, Parashurfans and Retrogrades. They're using the freaks, who are less than 1%, to scare up compliance by folks that have a demographic majority, have a moral majority. I'm talking about Christians in America, and should never reasonably be expected to be on board with the freakish, literally anti-Christian behavior. How would you take the 90% or whatever it is, 80%, and subjugate them to less than 1% when the 1% hates and is actually cursed and anathematized by Christianity, the 80%'s religion? That makes no sense. You'd say if you gamed this out, you have less than 1%. Okay, they're kind of aggressive, but they're not known for being really tough. They're being weaponized by groups like the WEF and certain countries. I won't mention who the countries are because there are a few of them, and it's all a bit theoretical. They're being weaponized, subsidized, funded, and advocated through Fortune 500 companies such that this 0.5% is running the game, running the boards on the 80% who have the manlier guys, ostensibly. I mean, the whole idea of Anthony Bass, he's wearing a beard, which is supposed to be masculine, even though he looks like he just finished crying. He looked like he just finished sobbing. It's hard to watch because if that guy has a wife or even a girlfriend, she can never be sexually attracted to him again. A man, the whole point of wearing a beard, 100%. Right?
100%.
Yeah. You ruined your wife being sexually attracted to you. Do you know why girls like bad boys? It's not stupid that girls like bad boys. It's primal. It means they're not another man's bitch. Girls who are not rainbow pride people, girls who are straight, are attracted to men qua man. That means if you grow a beard, like Leonidas, this guy probably has a bunch of 300 gear, or probably did, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Probably was a fan of the movie. He's got a beard kind of like Leonidas, you know, manly sports. They're attracted to you because, not because you play sports. Girls don't give a shit. They honestly don't. They're not attracted to you because they think your beard's badass. They're attracted to you because they think that the sports and the beard and the tough talk and broing around is a proxy for something that does matter to them and does matter naturally very much, that you're not going to be some other guy's bitch, that you will go down fighting, which Mr. Anthony Bass, you, sir, didn't. And here's the thing. Sometimes your enemy gets the upper hand, but will you go down fighting? Now, the pathetic thing here is what's demographically unexpected is that the enemy doesn't have the upper hand. There's still 80% nominal Christians in this country, 70 to 85, say. I haven't checked the most recent Pew research numbers, but they're less than 1%. A bully, and you have to admire it. They're evil, but you have to admire it. I want to show you how a bully operates. Before I talk about the pushback responses, good, better, best, from Trevor Williams, Blake Treenan, Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw's was barely even good, but better and best, Blake and Trevor. Before I get to that, I want to finish up talking about what has happened with Anthony Bass. So do we have these clips? I want to show you how Bio-Leninism operates, how the elite, who are very few, but they have lots of money, have weaponized a worldview, Skittles, which is a perverse, hellbound, vile worldview that is completely anathema to the moral majority and the demographic majority of at least nominal Christians, to maybe some actual real Christians in this country, and how they are running the boards, like one guy beating one nerdy library-bound dork and his buddy beating up a whole football team. Like, how is this happening? It's how the world works. I call it the five steps of how a bully operates, okay? So first, let's play the Daniel Stern clip. This is what he says about a bully's goals, right? It's not how a bully operates. It's why a bully operates. So this is Daniel Stern from City Slickers, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, but it's a great clip. Do you need to mute me?
While I'm also getting that up, somebody in chat said that Magic Johnson is co-owner for the Dodgers, who, by the way, his son is in Woman Face. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's Daniel Stern. Let me get this ready.
I'm not going to let bullies anymore. My father-in-law is a bully, Phil. I hate bullies. Because a bully doesn't just beat you up.
Nope.
He takes away your dignity. Phil! I hate that.
Okay, so it's a humorous clip, but it's true. A bully does not just beat you up, he takes away your dignity. Now, I don't like baseball. I can't tolerate watching baseball, but I appreciate what these two of these three pitchers have said. And let me make some analogies from another sport, one that I care about. Okay, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. The two greatest basketball players of all time. Each have a clip about, and basketball, I would say, is the most psychologically psychology is most salient in basketball of all sports. It's so easy to shoot. The basket gets bigger when you're hitting shots. It's hard to hit a layup when you're in a slump. Baseball is a very psychological sport too. These are probably the two most psychological, more than football, more than soccer. But basketball is all about psychology and dominance. And what Kobe Bryant says is, when you have your opponent down, you have to step on his neck. You don't let your opponent writhe around. You don't wait and see what's going to happen. When your opponent is down, you step on his neck. And it's for the Christian, they think, oh, no. You know, they start saying things that their wives told them to say. But it's very good advice. And it's what's being done to us. Okay? And this is what, part of what Daniel Stern means. A bully doesn't just beat you up. He takes your dignity. Okay? He beats you up, and if it's a bully that's really trying to dominate you, he steps on your neck. You don't end it quick. Michael Jordan says in episode 6 of The Last Dance, if you're trying to maintain dominance in a league, you don't do anything. It's just like Kobe Bryant. You don't do anything that signals to the opponent that you're going to give them hope, that they don't let them linger around. If you're up in a 7-game series, 3-0, yeah, you could take a game off and go for the gentleman's sweep and wait to close out your opponent back home and beat him 4-1. But you don't want to do anything. You don't want to let him get any head of steam. It's basically common sense. So MJ and Kobe, unsurprisingly, because Kobe modeled this whole game after MJ, are saying the same thing. They're saying, when you have an opponent down, if you're a killer, and by a killer here, I just mean a man. You dominate them. And this is what the Bio-Leninists who run the West are so good at. Small demographic minority pushing Skittles, which no one believes. Everyone knows it's gross. Everyone understands it's anathema to Christianity, right? One of the seven unforgivable sins or sins that cries out to heaven. But everyone pretends that it's okay. And instead of us proverbially stepping on their necks, they, the less than 1%, are stepping on ours. They're real. We're not bullies by nature. We're not trying to dominate. And that, maybe that's part of the problem in some sense. But these are bullies. And okay, now I want to play you another clip, this time of another one of my favorite comedies. This one I probably even more. Not a straight-up comedy, but Back to the Future. This is Biff Tannen bullying George McFly. And I want you to note five things he does, okay? The five steps in the operation of a bully to maintain dominance. Step one, you're going to see him use aggression, opening aggression. Step two, he makes a demand. Step three, middle aggression, right? It's an aggression sandwich. So aggression, demand, some sort of bully's demand. Aggression in the middle to remind you, he's there in your face. Step four, a rhetorical question. And step five, closing aggression and the laying of one or two extra unnecessary rules, which is just a reinstantiation of that aggression. So aggression, demand, aggression, rhetorical question, closing aggression, which takes the form of an extra unnecessary rule just to solidify his dominance of you. Okay, can we play George McFly and Biff Tannen?
What do you think you're doing? Biff. Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
You got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly.
Hey,
I gotta have time to recount it. You know what would happen if I handed my homework in your handwriting? I'd get kicked out of school. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Would you?
Well, now, of course, no. I wouldn't want that to happen.
What are you looking at, butthead?
If Biff gave all this guy's life preserve. Dork thinks he's gonna drown.
Yeah. So, how about my homework, McFly?
Okay, Biff. Well, I'll finish that on up tonight, and then I'll bring it over first thing tomorrow morning.
You're not doing my sleep in Sunday.
Oh, McFly, your shoes are back.
Oh, I'm so gullible, McFly. Oh, I want to see you when you're
okay. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, I know you guys think it's silly, but this is really instructive. And before we turn to the pretty good responses of Williams and Trainin, I'm going to tell you how these responses could have been excellent. And it's meeting aggression with over-the-top aggression. It's relatively simple, but I'm going to show you. Let's study what Biff Tannen does to George McFly here. Okay? So the first step is aggression. The bully makes himself large. It's a principle of nature. All animals do it. This is what the Skittles lobby and the demographic minority that runs these leagues, runs the West, does using the Skittles worldview. Because they're really small. They have to be super aggressive. So Biff Tannen busts through the door and he's like, hey, yo, McFly, what are you doing in here? That's super aggressive. Steps right into his personal space, George's personal space. And then he makes a demand. Step two, get my homework out. You're supposed to do my homework for me. Where is it? I want it. Make good with it. And he's still there. It's not like he's talking to him from across the room. He's right in his face, getting a little closer each time. So step two is demand, following that first aggression. Step three is aggression. He knocks on his head. He's hitting him. He's hitting him in the head. And I'm telling you, this is what the Skittles people, I have lots of more colorful names for these folks that I use around my house, but this is on YouTube here, right? So this is what the Skittles folks do. Now they're knocking on your head. Hello, McFly. And he's calling him dumb. He's saying he can't hear, knocking on his forehead. Then he asks him a rhetorical question. And this is the part where Daniel Stern's idea. The rhetorical question is geared at stripping any dignity, and we're going to see how it happened to Anthony Bass. Any dignity that remained. I mean, not much remained, because look what just happened. He's being made some other man's bitch. Any dignity should be cleansed out, even if there's a little bit of residual dignity. So he says, you wouldn't want me to get kicked out of school, would you? Which, of course, that would make George McFly's day. Any victim of bullying would love, would pay big bucks to get the bully kicked out of their school, would make their year, it would make their decade for the bully to be kicked out. So George McFly is sitting there thinking, like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. You know, just for a half second. And then he gets in his face extra and he says, would you? Biff knows that George wants him kicked out of school. So it's not a real question, it's a rhetorical question. Why does the bully ask the rhetorical question? Well, it's because of what Biff Tannen, Daniel Stern says. He doesn't just beat you up. He makes you say, I like it. May I have another? Can you punch me in the face again? He takes any remaining amount of dignity. Usually that takes the form of rhetorical questions. So I'm into studying the human behavior, and these things are methodological. They work. This is what Rules for Retrogrades is all about. Rules for Radicals is 13 steps to bullying a Christian society onto its knees. The final act, the closing act of aggression by Biff, is he's just being aggressive to everyone. His lackeys are looking at Michael J. Fox's vest, and he's saying,
awesome.
What?
The vest is
pretty sick. The vest is pretty sick. But they're, you know, they're just making themselves large as they're leaving. And then he says two things, two extra necessary rules. He says, one, even though you're doing my homework for me, I'm not going to make this convenient at all for you. Don't bring it by. I sleep in on Sunday mornings. It's just an extra rule. Like, you're going to do everything by my terms exactly. And number two, then he says, also, I don't want to see you in here anymore. You've lost your, as Marcellus Wallace says, you've lost your LA privileges, right? He says, you've lost your privileges to come into this coffee shop, diner. Just for no reason. Apropos of nothing. Extra show of force. So this is not that bullying someone is admirable, but it's an admirable efficacy on exhibit by Biff Tannen, George McFly. Not only is this one of the greatest movies of that generation, I say of all time, Back to the Future, Biff Tannen's one of the world's most famous bullies. Played by Mr. Tom Wilson, who I think he's a lapsed Catholic. He's very funny, very nice man. Not quite the bully, but aggression, demand, aggression, rhetorical question, aggression. Now, can we play the Lance Bass or whatever? We should start calling him Lance Bass from NSYNC or whatever. Anthony Bass, can we play it one more time? Well, we don't get to see the bully's aggression, but I want you to read him as responding a la George McFly, the victim of bullying. He's responding to aggression, a demand by the league. Remember what they did to Kyrie Irving? Remember what they did to Kyrie Irving? Aggression, demand, aggression, rhetorical question. I'm going to tend to where's the rhetorical question in Lance Bass's response here. And then extra unnecessary rules are perhaps being thrown at him. Let's hear this one more time.
I recognize yesterday I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine, close family members of mine, and I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologize with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Just a second.
So we've seen this. I'm good?
Yeah.
We've seen this play out before. The responses are boilerplate. They're given something to say. It's a hostage statement, right? Say this into the camera. It always starts like this, which is like responding to a demand. Say this. It always begins, I recognized. You didn't recognize shit, all right? You're a clown. You didn't recognize shit, Lance Bass. You're pathetic. Okay, you should never get a girlfriend again if you have a girlfriend. Or your wife is going to have a genuinely tough time bringing herself to be attracted to you because you're not a man. You didn't recognize squat. What, aside from a bully, Biff Tannen, got in your face this minority interest, Skittles, that runs the West, that runs your league, and they said, we're going to take away your money. You're going to be our bitch. So yeah, I guess you recognize that, but he made it sound like he was doing some soul searching and he realized that boycotts are what, wrong? Boycotting immoral, dangerous products like Bud Light, Target, the Los Angeles Dodgers, that's wrong? You're saying like you had a cry from your conscience? No, you recognize they got in your face and they rearranged your shit. They said, we're going to give you the factory reset because you're not a man. That beard is fake, man. I would say those muscles, but these guys don't even have muscles. Okay. Then he said, I'm truly sorry. So there's the dignity part. They're like, look, you have to say, because everyone knows it's a charade. So it's the rhetorical question part. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Say, I'm truly sorry. It's an extra perverse manifestation of kabuki theater. Everyone knows it's not true. You're just jumping through a hoop. Don't say truly. But say truly, because truly makes it extra weird. We know you just got, you got touched. You got, they're like, do this. You're going to be sorry if you don't. That's what you're sorry for. Then he said, I spoke with my teammate. He also said, I apologized with my teammates. I think he meant two. Learn prepositions, jackass.
Two and with, one another.
Two and with, not tricky. I spoke with my teammates. That's always part of the boilerplate. The weird feminized, the wives are really running the league kind of thing that is pushed by these elites who run the pro sports leagues. They say, oh, well, it should be a teammates thing. It's the girls trying to understand how team sports work. Yeah, you bring this to your teammates. And what it's also doing is it's re-solidifying the need that the bioleninists use for mimesis. Because when you get, I've been in group chats, right? I've been in group chats with like 40 guys. They're pathetic. One guy will be like, hey man, maybe we should stop cussing. And I'll be like, well, I'm not going to do that. Right? I like, this is between me and my Lord. I never say GD. I would never say that. I never even say G dash dash. But don't tell me what your etiquette norms are in your household. I don't care. Okay? I say shit. If you don't want to, don't. But like, you have to make yourself big with these guys, because even though the Anthony Basses of the world are cucks, in a group of 39 or 40, they start feeling like big men just because of the mimesis, which has been weaponized from time immemorial by human beings. Man's a herd animal. The weaklings love the herd. Strong men don't like the herd, but weak men love the herd. And so they say, I spoke with my teammates agree, I apologize with them. He can't even speak English. To and with my wife. He says, I apologize. And I'm like, look, dude, I'm sorry. I'm partly sorry that now you're just this laughing stock. Everyone who's like a real man, or women that are married to real men, are like, what a pathetic puke. It's hard to watch. It was hard to play twice. And the lefties that run the show, they're like, no, now we shun you. This is part of Soviet shadow shoulder. You just make, you know, ceremonial hand wash. Okay, come back to the group. No, oh, we put up the gate. Go wash your hands again. Then come back. We'll let you in. Nope, we didn't let you rejoin the fold. Nope, go wash your hands a third time. We promise we'll do it this time. We won't do it again. Nope, you put up the gate. Now we're just lying. Now we want you to lie down in the dirt, stand on your head, touch your toes. Now we'll let you in. Nope, we're not going to do it. Remember Cool Hand Luke? What these fucking guys do? They do the Cool Hand Luke technique. They literally make Luke to break his spirit, which are what we're dealing with here, the demonic psychology. What do they do to Cool Hand Luke to break his spirit? Hey, go out there and dig that ditch. Right? Boss number one says that. Then boss number two says, he's like, hey, can I come in now? I dug the ditch. And boss number two is like, what's all my dirt doing out in that yard? You fill it back in the ditch. He fills it back in. Boss number one comes over and says, I told you to dig a ditch. What's that dirt doing in the hole. The dirt should be out of the hole. Oh, he does that all night. This is what this elite demographic minority Skittles is doing. I don't think it's necessarily LMNOP guys themselves. Obviously, it's weaponizing them. But who's really doing this to us? Who's robbing us of light and life, as Witt says in Thin Red Line? You guys have to start asking the question. Okay, who is this? Who's making us all dig a ditch, then fill it back up all day and all night long? That's what they did to this poor, pathetic eunuch of a puke, Anthony Bass. You're pathetic, man. Learn, live and learn. If you, I don't know if you could ever recover from that. They made you their bitch. Okay? The same thing, if you're in a group chat, I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, whatever. If you're in a group chat and people try to enforce their etiquettal norms on you, the norms of the herd. I'm not talking about Christianity. That's not the norms of the herd. I'll follow God's laws. And I'll be around Christians that are following real God's law. But I don't, if it's not God's law, I'm not going to do what you say. Right? Rage Against the Machine has a great line for this. Their first album, Song 2. And I know they're lefty, but whatever happened to F you, I won't do what you tell me. There's a heavy dose of Christianity that could be context friendly with F you, I won't do what you tell me. And this Anthony Bass guy, again, think of rhetorically what's going on here. I recognize what I did. No, you didn't. I'm truly sorry. No, you're not. I spoke with my teammates to reinforce the mob. The fact that they're not the mob, the Skittles people, but they're making themselves like they're the mob. You're less than 1%. The mob says that this is a sin that cries out for vengeance. And we're going to look in the three good, pretty good, decent responses from Trevor Williams, Blake Trinan, Clayton Kershaw. All of them could have been improved, right? If they'd have come to me, hey, how can I write this? How can I write a real gangbusters response?
You should have drafted a response.
Well, I know some of these guys. So it's like, look, you want something that will be legendary, that will make you into a legend? I'll ghostwrite it for you. Something that will resound from now. You want to be legendary like the Babe, Babe Ruth? Be an athlete that goes hard. That goes hard. Do you know how easy it is to devastate the Skittles worldview? It's not hard. So aggression, it's a mental disorder, and it's clearly evil, and it's clearly disordered, and everyone looks down on it. Just all these cowards are afraid to say they look down on it. Aggression demand, aggression, rhetorical question, closing aggression with an unnecessary rule. Yeah, that's what they did to Kyrie Irving, okay, in the NBA, for an unrelated thing. They did that, aggression with a demand, aggression with a rhetorical question. Do you still believe this? Then make him disown it. Get rid of your dignity. You say, look, I'll take away the comment, but I still think that. That's what a moderate coward would do. A man says, take two of these and I'll call you in the morning. This isn't the real thing. Those are my ring fingers. Take two of these and don't call me in the morning. I sleep in. Not you, Biff. See, I'm a bully of bullies. That's what a real man says. And you make yourself a legend. Sorry, Jesus is king. I know you people that run the leagues are not Christians. I know you're not. I see you. But I am. And here's the thing. I don't care if you're not Christian. I'm not just going to say, hey, you offended my religion. There are a million religions. All of them are fake except one. There's only one religion that worships the true living God. Jesus in the Trinity. And you just mocked him on the cross. You're going to fucking pay. You're going to pay with more than your life. I'm sick of it, man. I said this on Whitlock. I'm sick of it. So let's read. Let's go, I guess, Clayton Kershaw's response. I'm trying to think. Going good, better, best. I wouldn't even say Clayton Kershaw's response is good. I'll say it's rather funny, actually. But we'll talk about Williams and Trinan's response were decent, and I respect them some. So this was pretty good. But here's Kershaw, which is not the same thing as what Lance Bass there did. But it's still quite pathetic. Here's what Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers star pitcher, said in expressing disapproval of his team's decision. This is disapproval that was probably written by the guy's wife. It's rather tepid. "I don't agree with making fun of other people's religions," Kershaw said. "It has nothing to do with anything other than that, guys. I just don't think that no matter what religion you are, you should make fun of somebody else's religion." He sounds like he's 1 year old. Sounds like he's in first grade. "So that's something I definitely don't disagree with. For us, we felt like the best thing to do in response was," saying he literally refers to his wife's response. "The best thing to do in response to people mocking Jesus on the cross, wicked people that are going to pay on the other side of the eschaton, instead of making a statement condemning or anything like that, would just be to instead try to show what we do support, as opposed to maybe what we don't. And that was Jesus." I mean, it sounds like the guy's got like some sort of mental issue happening. He's talking like a one-year-old. "So to make Christian Faith Day our response is what we felt was the best decision." I tweeted back at him. I said, yeah. I said something about 30 pieces of silver, but I also said, yeah, let me know. Maybe we'll take you seriously after you boycott the June 16th game. I'm not even saying you have to quit your salary. Just tell the doctors, take the Dodgers, take two of these. I ain't pitching on June the 16th. Now, what's really cool is his relief pitcher or whatever it is, Blake Treinen, he's also there, so they could together form a coalition, which is what you're supposed to do. You're not even that small a minority. MLB has a lot of Christians. And with your coalition, you can make it where this scumbag team run by non-Christians doesn't even have a pitcher for June the 16th. I mean, they might bring in some scab, or I know baseball you have like five pitchers. But try to get all the pitchers. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get all the pitchers on the team to be like, let's screw over the Dodgers. Do you know how exciting that would be? Do you know how legendary it would be if they couldn't get a pitcher for a game for Pride Night? It's the problem with modern day athletes. They don't want to step on the neck of their opponent. It's all buddy-buddy, high-five smiles during the game. This year's NBA playoffs, I've been noticing it. How many teams that are losing, they're about to be eliminated, they're smiling. Isaiah Thomas wouldn't even shake the hands of the Chicago Bulls when the Bulls finally beat him. You know, the Lakers and the Celtics hated each other so much, they're like broken down. All summer long, they're broken down. You hear stories of teams from the 80s and 90s that lost in the NBA, and they're like, we're going in the gym the next day. We're not even having a summer. We don't deserve a summer. It's a totally different world. Okay, these athletes are really, really, really feminized. Another LA Dodgers player is speaking against his organization's decision to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence at home. Okay, this player is Blake Treinen. I guess Treinen is a former All-Star. I didn't know that. And Dodgers right-hander issued a statement through a personal friend, backing his beliefs in challenging times. In a what they call here on OutKick a fiery statement. I don't think it's fiery, but it's probably the closest to fiery of the statements. Treinen warned the Dodgers to stick to baseball and keep fringe groups out of the sport, to not just preserve America's pastime, but keep from mocking a large group of baseball fans that are Christians. Okay, not a large group. I like what you're saying. Keep fringe groups out, right? The Skittles. Keep them out. They're not fans anyway, even from a crass economic businessman's perspective. But it's not that lots of baseball fans are Christians. It's that baseball, you know, 100 years ago or something was called America's sport. And America's a Christian nation. So it's more than just a lot of the fans are Christian. There's a concomitance there, right? You fly to an Arab country and you think this is an Islamic country. Do your stupid friends, do the stupid idiots in the media go, not every single person in the country is Islamic. This is a Christian nation, right? Yeah, that kind of stuff isn't welcome here. It's not welcome here. It's the opposite of guys like Toronto's Anthony Bass, who will go by whatever the public opinion dictates. But see, these dumb sports reports aren't even, they're not even, they don't even get it right. Like, everyone knows I love the NBA. I love it. And people are like, oh, are they exempt? No, these athletes have on average like an IQ of 90 or something. So you can't be too picky. You take what you can get. It was pretty based that it says Dodgers pitcher willing to risk it all for faith. Equipped with Bible verses and common sense, Blake Treinen threw heat at the Dodgers for inviting the sisters, retracting their invite after backlash and returning to inviting them following backlash from LGBT groups. He said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now that's pretty based. That he's saying, like, screw these people, right? You guys are enemies of God. Why would I try to impress an enemy of God? It's like someone breaks into your house and you're trying to show them something that'll impress them. Well, I heard you really like casseroles. Okay, let me take you to the refrigerator. My wife made a great casserole. These people are your enemy. You ought to hate them, okay? You ought to hate them. I am disappointed to see the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence being honored as heroes at Dodger Stadium. Many of their performances are blasphemous, and their work only displays hate and mockery of Catholics and the Christian faith. Yeah, it's not that I'm worried about them mocking Catholics or even the Christian faith. They mock God using Catholic iconography, but they're mocking Jesus. This is First Commandment stuff. This is serious stuff. I'm a jealous God, have no other gods before me, do not allow me to be mocked. It's good he said this, but let's say it clearly. It's not just that they're mocking a religion or faith, religious faith, of the Christian sort. They're mocking Jesus. Say, Jesus is really God. I'm 100% certain. Anyone that's not a Christian, I'm 100% certain. You're wrong. You're going to want to join this club and show deference to God. You mocked the God man. Like, WTF is wrong with you? You're going to pay. You're not going to get away with it. What you've done in the dark will be brought to the light, except you did this in front of all the world. You're going to pay, man. That's all you have to say to him. You better repent. This isn't fake. This isn't playing. I did a video responding to this, mocking Aisha and Ganesh and, you know, the false gods of the sort of secular people that run the media. Oh, okay, yeah, you have that. The false gods are like MLK and St. George Floyd. I'll mock them till the cows come home. They're not God. Jesus is. And you mocked Jesus on the cross. You did a sex, like, pole dance with Jesus on the cross. You're going to pay with more than your life. You better turn it around. But if you know, if you do good, but if you don't, then I'm saying, because God's listening, I ain't down with you. I'm your enemy, big guy. So this statement by Treinen continues, however, inviting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to perform disenfranchises a large community. See, don't say words like community, please. And promotes hate of Christians and peoples of faith. You don't have to say peoples of faith. I don't really care if it offends other people of faith. Do you guys understand that? I care about Christians, most specifically Catholics, but I'll go to bat for any Christians, Protestants, or Orthodox, because they're my brothers in Jesus. I'll go to bat for them. I don't care if you mock someone else's faith. You don't have to pretend that you care if someone else's faith gets mocked. I'm not saying it's best practice. I don't go around mocking other people's faith. But you're not running a serious risk if you mock a faith besides Christianity of being damned, right? Look at St. Boniface. He mocked other people's faith. He mocked other people's faith. We have him right here. He's in some ways the patron saint of the show. He cut down the pagan tree. The pagans believed in gods. He showed them you have a fake god. Same thing we say to Ganesh and Vishnu and you know, the husband of Aisha, Muhammad and all that. Not that he's taken, but that's, you can mock people. I don't care. So don't get it wrong. I know athletes don't think in these details, but don't mock Catholic Christianity. Don't mock even Protestant Christianity unless you do it from a Catholic perspective. I'll go to bat for anyone that loves Jesus and worships him as God. I don't give a damn if you mock other faiths. You don't have to say it the weakest possible way. When these guys set out to write their letters, Blake Treenan wrote it. There's some strong lines. Thank you. But I hope that they're not telling the people that helped them draft it, like, I want to say it the weakest possible way. Say it the strongest possible way. Same as, like, you don't say, hey, we're suiting up for a baseball game tonight. We want the weakest possible performance. We want the strongest. Come out strong. Your enemies are going to come after you in either way. Just ask Lance Bass or whatever his name is, Anthony Bass, the bearded conceptual eunuch who just got, like, bitch slapped in front of the whole country. And no one likes him anyway. The conservatives don't like him. The left doesn't like him. I am disappointed, Treenan continues, to see the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence being honored as heroes at Dodger Stadium. Many of their performances are blasphemous. Thank you. That's how you say it. And their work only displays hate and mockery of Catholics and the Christian faith. Okay? We already went through that. They're mocking Jesus. That's worse than mocking our faith. However, inviting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to perform disenfranchises a large community and promotes hate of Christians and people of faith. The single event alienates the fans and supporters of the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, and professional sports. That's a good line. Don't you care about your audience? No. These people that run these leagues, MLB, NBA, NFL, they work in some level or another with /for/ at the behest of groups like the WEF. Who runs that? We need to start getting to the bottom of that. The debacle with Bud Light and Target should be a warning to companies and professional sports to stay true to their brand and leave the propaganda and politics off the field. It's pretty good. Though, look at what Miller and Coors did. It's rare that they actually get punished.
Because it's a man's product.
Yeah, you said because it's a man's product, but Coors and Miller are too, and they did it right the next day after Bud Light got hit, they got smacked down. It was a weird thing. Miller and Coors rushed into the fray and did the same thing, and they didn't get smacked down. So they know that the pack animal, the herd animal, the average American consumer only does one of these effective boycotts on behalf of their own moral majority, demographical majority, once every 10 years. Then they go back to being pathetic pukes, American consumers. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. You don't have to say, I believe, man. Okay? This is a good profession, you know, like a confiteor, right? But just say, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and all of yours. Get hip with it. Convert your lives. I believe the word of God is true. See, the I believe here is not strengthening the way it's supposed to in the credo, right? When you say the creed, it's like, I believe this. I stand here like a mountain. The way he keeps saying, I believe here, just assert it baldly. Look, the word of God is true. I believe in Galatians 6, verse 7. When it says, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Don't say, I believe. Say, this is the truth. There's one God. He's a triune God. He will not be mocked. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 avers as much. A man reaps what he sows. This group openly mocks Jesus Christ. Good, that's good. The cornerstone of my faith, that's good. And I want to make it clear that I do not agree with nor support the decision of the Dodgers to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Well, see, what Blake, you didn't have to say, I don't. So this guy killed my family, and I want to make it clear that I do not necessarily agree with that or support it. It's like, no. Say what you're going to do back to him, right? Say, okay, here's what course I'm going to pursue. People know you don't agree with someone killing your family. These people hate you, right? These people hate you, want to drink your blood if you're a Christian. You don't have to say, I want to make it clear, I don't agree with that or support it. Now, with Blake Treenan, and he closes with, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, from Joshua. Good. So this is an instance with Blake Treenan of trying to be strong, trying to show strength, and effort counts here. This is an A-, okay? This is an A-. Now, the craftsmanship of the letter falls short, you know, with distinctions that matter. You don't say, I want to make it clear. I'm not down with that. I want to make it clear. I'm going to hunt you down. Yeah, think of Taken with Liam Neeson. He's like, this is exactly what's going to happen. I will find you. I will, you know, all that. So metaphorically here, when you say, I want to make it clear, you don't have to say, I don't like people killing my family or mocking my God, mocking the one true God. That's already clear from your letter. Now you just need to say, let me make it clear. I will not play in a ball game where these heinous devils, where these heinous, disgusting devils are being honored. Let me make it clear. I will not be playing June 16th. Let me make it clear. I'm going to strive every waking moment between now and the 16th of June in 2.5 weeks to make sure that I will shame the shit out of Christians in the MLB that do not boycott their games, even if they're not playing at LA Dodger Stadium on June 16th. If they play the game, we're going to call them scabs and blacklegs, right? This is the most important strike that the MLB has ever had. And I am going to use every waking moment and several of my dollars to ensure it happens. That's what you make clear. Your letter already made clear you don't like that they're making fun of the God man. Of course not. Okay? So, A-. Thanks for doing it. Now we'll go to the Nationals pitcher, whom I know, Trevor Williams. He words his a little better. I'd say also an A-. His is a little bit more, I think, exactly what he wanted to say. It's a little less bold, but it's more exactly what he wanted to say. So you kind of make up trade-off for intent and fire with that. But another A-. Go ahead, Steph.
I was just going to say on that point that you just made, it's funny, like all these men are just releasing statements. It's like, let's see some action, guys.
Yeah.
All the statements, all the cameras, all like the ritual hand washing. It's like, just be a guy and just say, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Look, people that have watched Rules for Retrogrades long enough, it's just like, no, fuck that. I'm not doing it. Like, sorry, I mean, sorry, not sorry. His language is a little saltier today. I'm just worked up. You know, when I was like, hey, Patreon, like, look, take down these two videos. You can have your money back. I was like, no, I'm not going to be doing that. And then some people were asking me, but like, isn't Patreon like your most regular, dependable means of support for your family? Yeah. But God provides, man. Behold the fowls of the air. Behold the fowls of the air. He will provide. I am a man of faith. I am not a pimp. I am not a grifter. You sacrifice everything for the truth. And look, we're fine. If you want to support this channel, go to Subscribestar and Locals. Because you do need that. In the shows following up, after I made clear, no, I'm not going to do this, Patreon. And Patreon froze my account. I haven't gotten another dollar after that first month. It's not tough talk. Same thing with, I mean, they actually gave me the choice to backtrack, which is always what the bully will do. When they see you're kind of tough, when they see you're tough or at least a little tough, they'll give you the choice to backtrack. Okay, we see you're not a typical herd man. All right, so we respect that a little more. Then they'll start try flattery. See, this is not in, we did not see this in the Biff Tannen handbook. I've got this a few times, you know. We see, okay, you're not a typical herd man. We respect that. But let us sweeten the deal for you. They do this with, like, Katniss in Hunger Games. Okay, you're a little special. You walk between the raindrops a bit. You're not just going to be cucked. We respect that. We need people like you on our team. Let us splash the pot. Take two of these, you know. Call me. Don't call me in the morning. Then they try to get tough with you again. But I didn't have that opportunity when I lost my job teaching high school 3-ish years ago. They just bail. It's easier to just they make the decision for you when they're like, hey, do just chuckle to our whim, and we'll be cool. Chuckle to our whim. And we'll make it easy for you. Then you're like, okay, I don't want to feel the sting of temptation. So what I was trying to tell, what I texted, I'm going to read his statement now. This morning,
Trevor Williams
was, I said, I was asking him if he had time to jump on. I said, you should be doing a double down statement around this time. The handlers are going to be starting to try forcing you to pull a bass. Like that pathetic little bitch, Lance Bass. I didn't say that part. I said they're going to be trying to...
Andrew Bass? What's his name?
Andrew Bass. Lance Bass is the... he's probably at that Pride Parade, maybe. I don't know. I don't know that he was. I'm just guessing.
I think that guy's gay as a tangerine.
But we're guessing. I mean...
No. Lance Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's funny to call whatever the hell his name is, Anthony Bass. So what I meant is the easiest way, if you're a man of honor, even a man of honor feels tempted. So when Patreon was telling me, look, you have a month to do this. We'll give you your money for this month, but before next month, we want you to take down these two videos. You have to burn that bridge so you don't get tempted. It's important. This is what I was telling Trevor by text. I was telling him, I was like, you should be doing a double down twice as hot to burn the bridge. You do a double down statement. The handlers are going to be starting to try forcing you to pull a bass. This is called the Odysseus mast tying technique. So Odysseus, when he was traveling past the Siren Island, he knew what would happen is he'd be driven out of his mind. He'd be insensate in his wits. And anyone that passes the island will do whatever they can, even against their best judgment, to get to the sirens who will kill them. So Odysseus tells his men, tie me to my mast. You tie me to my mast. Don't untie me for anything. And they do. And of course, that's what you do. You double safeguard even against your own weakness. So that's what Trevor should be doing today. Blake Treenan should be doing it today. I don't even think Clayton Kershaw will be approached because what he said was so weak. He essentially is working with the Dodgers to do damage control. He just kind of embarrassedly added the next day he is actually kind of a Christian or whatever. But you have to understand, if your right hand causes you to sin, you lop it off. And dealing with these bullies takes psychology. Even dealing with the simple Biff Tannen sort takes psychology. You got to master your psychology. Burn that bridge rather than become a fink, become a pathetic pute, a cipher, cinco. Just burn the bridge. And that's what I did with Patreon.
And we'll do it with YouTube eventually.
And we'll do it with YouTube. But here, there is a difference. Now, I do codify stuff. Once the bully makes the demand, I want to tell all you guys this right now so you don't say, there's a difference. Once the bully makes the demand, then it's like, okay, I'm going to go. I mean, Steph's seen me in how many street fights when I was younger? Once the bully's being a jerk, it's like time to go. But when the bully's not giving the demand, the imposition of the demand and the demanded compliance, that's all that tells you about you as a man. It's fine to not go around looking for a fight. So yeah, I'm codifying my language on YouTube. Yeah, we've preemptively been like, well, this video's done. So we'll you know, we've pulled down videos before during COVID, but it wasn't because they told us to. It's just like there's a difference. That's my agency. That's not taking needless risks. But anytime I get one of these demands, take this down, you know, if it wasn't something I was going to do before, if it's just them, I'll do as I've always done. And that's the whole difference. It's not like you have to be stupid or you have to buy trouble. It's not like you have to not want a paycheck. We all want a paycheck. We all need money. Okay, so Trevor's statement goes like this, went like this. Well, it's just a story in the Washington Examiner from today.
Washington. If you want to read it.
What's that?
You have it on Twitter if you want to read it. Before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you want to read that whole thing?
Okay,
yeah, just.
Bear with me. The writing is a little bit small, but this is Trevor Williams' statement that he released on Twitter. And he says, as a devout Catholic, I am deeply troubled by the Dodgers' decision to reinvite and honor the group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, at their Pride Night this year. A Major League Baseball game is a place where people from all walks of life should feel welcomed, something I greatly respect and support. This is the purpose of different themed nights hosted by the organization, including Pride Night. To invite and honor a group that makes a blatant and deeply offensive mockery of my religion and the religion of over 4 million people in Los Angeles County alone undermines the values of respect and inclusivity that should be upheld by any organization. Creating an environment in which one group feels celebrated and honored at the expense of another is counterproductive and wrong. It is a clear violation of the Dodgers' discrimination policy, which explicitly states that any conduct or attire at the ballpark that is deemed to be indecent or prejudiced against any particular group or religion is not tolerated. It seems that the Dodgers have made an exception in this case, doubling down that this group, which grossly disrespects and openly mocks many of the traditions and beliefs that Catholics hold most dear, should be celebrated. I believe it is essential for the Dodgers to reconsider their association with this group and strive to create an inclusive environment that does not demean or disrespect the religious beliefs of any fan or employee. I also encourage my fellow Catholics to reconsider their support of an organization that allows this type of mockery of its fans to occur.
That's the good part.
I am not alone in my frustration, hurt, and disappointment about this situation. As Catholics, we look to Jesus Christ and the way he was treated, and we realize that any suffering in this world unites us to him in the next.
I might actually bump up Trevor's A minus on this response to an A. There's some parts I really like of it, and I think it's better expressed than Blake Treinen. But hey, we'll take both of those. Yeah, A minus for Blake Treinen, and I'd say okay, solid A for Trevor. The reason I maybe A minus here instead of solid A or A plus is because what he says about all walks of life should feel welcome at a baseball game. No, I don't think that's true. You don't have to buy the inclusivity, man. Like murderers shouldn't feel welcome at a baseball game.
Groomers.
Well, but now we're talking about the June 16th game, right? You see what I'm saying? Everyone's not the same. But then these guys who just, I understand they're athletes. They haven't thought about all these things necessarily as deeply, even though this is a very good letter. But so that would mean that it's not all inclusive. Yeah. Damn straight. It's not all inclusive. See, discrimination, even under the 14th Amendment, 14th Amendment jurisprudes and 14th Amendment lawyers say, well, there's always discrimination. You're discriminating against murderers when you say that murderers, even after they come out of prison, or felons of most sorts, can no longer vote, can no longer hold a weapon. That's a discrimination. It's called a just discrimination at law. An unjust discrimination is what you guys have been brainwashed to think is all discrimination. No, we discriminate all the time. So I don't want people of all walks of life to feel welcome at a baseball game. I don't want to sit next to people from all walks of life. Ideally, there's the ideal and then what's acceptable at all. Ideally, I just want to go to a baseball game or a basketball game. Yeah, right, when I go to Pelicans and Smoothie King Center. I just want to sit next to some Catholics, man. Okay, I'll take some Protestants. I'll take some Orthodox. I guess I'll take some law-abiding non-Christians, but it's getting too inclusive, isn't it? So The problem with both Blake and Trevor's letter, even though they're good, is they don't understand that inclusivity is not good. And they don't understand, because they don't understand that inclusivity is not good, that in order to say, don't pick on my faith, you don't have to make an appeal to an axiom such as, don't ever make fun of any faiths. Include all faiths. Look, the reason it's wrong to mock Jesus is because he's God. It's not wrong to mock Jesus because he is the object of devotion in one or more person's religion. So is Vishnu. So is Ganesh. I make fun of them all day long. You get it? It's so you don't make the appeal like, oh, this is bad because it's someone's religious faith. You make the appeal because it's the one true religious faith. Right? When a math teacher is marking an answer wrong, they don't mark it wrong because, you know, if one guy says 2 and 2 is 4 and another guy says 2 and 2 is 5, you don't mark it wrong because you say, well, this is somebody's mathematical answer. No, you mark it wrong because if a teacher mismarks 2 and 2 plus 4 as incorrect, you don't appeal and you say, well, this was my mathematical answer. Well, yeah, but the teacher was right to say 2 and 2 plus 5, 2 and 2 equals 5 is a wrong answer. The teacher is wrong to say that 2 and 2 is 4 isn't a right answer. That's the point. I made that with like as many negative, triple negatives. All I'm saying is inclusivity is not the reason why it's wrong to exclude Christians. It's wrong to exclude Christians because we're the right ones, specifically Catholics. Okay? We're the only ones, Christians, that worship the true God. That's a very important thing. I'd have loved to have seen it in Trevor or Blake's letters, because clearly these guys have balls. And Clayton Kershaw, I don't think, has much. And Lance Bass or whatever. Enough said. That dude's done. No one can ever take that guy seriously again. No one ever will take him seriously.
I don't think anybody can ever like look that man in the eye ever again. He will not receive eye contact for the rest of his life.
He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. I mean, maybe if he's like, hey, you want to prove yourself, go on a hero's quest and show. I don't know how a man ever lets that happen to him, right? I mean, this is why as a young man you get into fights. You're testing your mettle. I'm not going to let that guy talk to me that way. I'm not saying it's perfectly moral. I'm not saying it's perfectly Christian. I'm saying it's perfectly male. Young men get in fights for this reason, because you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not. You're not going to push me around. You're not going to push me around in a grown-up adult way, which is just the play yard. Take this down. Say, I recognize I did wrong. I'm truly sorry. I spoke with my teammates. I apologize with my teammates. No. How about no? How about this? You're not a Christian, are you? You guy, representative of the league, MLB, NBA, NFL. You're not a Christian. You're not my people. Christians are my people. And I don't take orders from people who aren't my people. I don't take orders from people who are my people. I'm the head of a household. This guy does what this guy thinks is what Jesus wants him to do. But I'll consider it if you strike me as a good or an honest Christian. I'll take it under advisement. But these guys that run these leagues, not Christians. So why the sweet, fanciful Moses would I take advice from them? Oh, because they write your paycheck. Sometimes you got to miss a paycheck, bud. Being Christian means you miss a paycheck sometimes in 2023, gang. Can we get that through our skulls?
Or get burned alive.
Oh, yeah. Or get burned alive. But these these people are such cucks that when they're like, yeah, I'd get burned alive, but I won't miss a paycheck because, and then they make something up. Missing a paycheck is quite easy. I've done it. I told you lately, I've been talking a little bit more about it. I've been letting it seep out. I've been cut out of wills over questions of interfamilial divorce. I've been cut out of friend groups. My childhood, middle school friend group, right? Because there's divorce involved. I'm like, look, I ain't down with that, man. I'm not trying to be Mr. Preachy guy. I just can't hang out with you and your concubine. I'll hang out with you alone. But, like, I never liked in Great Gatsby how Nick Carraway goes and hangs out with Daisy and the guy she's cheating with, Gatsby, and then Tom Buchanan and his concubine Myrtle. That made me think in 10th fucking grade that Nick Carraway is a puke. And I'm not different from 10th grade. I don't want to be a sellout. Remember when Robert DeBruce said, when his disgusting leper father says, all men betray, all men lose heart. He says, I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to betray. I want to be what I thought was good and true and white and shining. In 10th grade, glistening white. I don't want to be stained. Okay? And I'm not trying to piss anyone off, but I can't hang out with you and your concubine. Okay, cut out of the group. Fine. Okay, cut out of a family will. I'm not down with divorce. They're trying times, friends, and they're coming for us. They're coming for us. If you want to support this channel, we could really use your support. Subscribestar and Locals is where we do it because Patreon cut me off. If you want to make a donation to me and my family, that's personal, that has nothing to do with what we're doing here, go to TimothyJGordon.com.
Subscribe on Rumble.
And subscribe on Rumble because, you know, we ain't too long for YouTube, right? We're going to hit 50,000 later this year if we stay on, but you know the policy. Mors per Ivam, vita per Mariam. I want you guys to start saying that. Death through Eve, life through Mary. Mors per Ivam, vita per Mariam. Stay tough. If you can, on Twitter or something, thank Trevor and Blake because they did good. You know, I want them to double down. I want them to go a little more offensive to these villains that run the leagues and throw some shame at Clayton Kershaw and Anthony Bass because they're cucks. But throw some love at Trevor and Blake because they did good. Thank you, Trevor and Blake. Mors per Ivam, vita per Mariam. Deus vult.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.